Welcome to the Divorce Coaches Academy podcast with co-founders and hosts, Tracy Callahan and Deborah Doak. Each week, we tackle another tough topic to help professional divorce coaches maximize client impact and cultivate thriving practices. We also want to spread the word about the expertise and value that certified divorce coaches bring to the table. At DCA, we are committed to ongoing learning and we value generosity among divorce coaching professionals. We believe that when one succeeds, we all succeed.
Welcome back to the Divorce Coaches Academy podcast. I'm Deborah. I'm here with my co-host, Tracy. Hello.
Hello. Hello, everyone.
Hi. All right. We're going to talk about a really interesting topic today, right? So we know this won't come as a surprise to any of you listening. As we talk about supporting people through divorce, we'll say it one more time. It's a consistent theme, right? Divorce with a capital D is undeniably one of life's most challenging experiences.
Yeah.
Right. And if we look at something called the Holmes-Rae Stress Scale, we find that divorce is the second most stressful life event. It's after death of a spouse or death of a child.
Yeah.
Right.
Number two,
most stressful life event. Even if it's not the high conflict kind of divorce, it's still stressful.
Yep.
So why is divorce, why does it rank so high when it comes to being a stressful event? Well, I can say this personally, and if you, the listener, have experienced a divorce yourself, you know that it's often accompanied by lots of emotional turmoil, uncertainty, upheaval, changes, things that are changing and we don't know what the outcome is going to be. It's really unsettling, right? And in the midst of all of this, it's really easy for our clients to slip into, I'm going to say it, a victim mentality, where they see themselves as kind of helpless bystanders in this process of ending their marriage, right?
Yeah.
But it's really crucial. And hang in there with us because we are not victim blaming here. So keep listening, right? It's crucial for us to recognize that while divorce might be thrust upon us or some of these changes or unwanted impacts are thrust upon us, it is ultimately within our control.
Yep.
So today we want to explore this insidious nature of victim mentality in divorce and discuss strategies to support clients in breaking free from this grip that it has on them.
Yeah.
But we want to start by recognizing that victim mentality, when we're talking about that today, it's very different from those who are victims in an abusive marriage. We want to distinguish those two things, okay? When somebody is a victim, it means they're experiencing harm, mistreatment, or adversity due to external circumstances or the actions of others. It involves a challenging situation. That sounds like divorce, right? Where one's rights, well-being, or dignity are compromised.
Yeah.
And then victims of these things experience a range of emotions. Pain, fear, anger, sadness in response to that experience. So being a victim is a factual state of being based on events or circumstances that have occurred. For example, someone who's been a victim of domestic violence or intimate partner violence is considered a victim because of the impact these events have on their life.
Yeah. Impact. Right. Right?
Impact.
But on the other hand, right? Having a victim mentality, okay, not again, a victim mentality involves adopting a specific mindset or perspective in response to adversity. It goes beyond experiencing victimization and encompasses a habitual pattern of thinking, feeling, and behaving as if one is powerless, helpless, or unfairly treated by life. Individuals with a victim mentality often perceive themselves as victims in various aspects of their lives, even when faced with relatively minor challenges or setbacks. Victim mentality is often characterized by a tendency to blame external factors, other people, or circumstances for one's problem, rather than taking responsibility and proactive steps to address them. It may involve dwelling on past grievances, harboring feelings of resentment or self-pity, and expecting others to rescue or validate one's suffering.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah. And when we look at victim mentality in divorce, the state of being often manifests for our clients as a pervasive sense of powerlessness and blame. Individuals may perceive themselves solely as victim of their spouse's actions or external circumstances, relinquishing agency over their own lives in the process. And they may dwell on feelings of injustice, bitterness, and resentment, unable to see beyond their own suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And we also know that victim mentality can significantly impact how individuals perceive and respond to conflict. Victim mentality intersects with conflict in so many ways, right?
So many ways.
So let's talk about some of them, right? The first one may be very familiar. We call it the blame game, right? Individuals with a victim mentality often have a tendency to externalize blame and conflict. Instead of taking responsibility for their actions or contributions to the conflict, remember there's two parties to conflict, they may attribute fault entirely to the other. And this can perpetuate a cycle of finger pointing and defensiveness, hindering productive resolution, ultimately stuck in that perpetual problem cycle.
Oh, the dreaded problem cycle.
Yeah. Okay. Another one, perceived injustice, right? Those with a victim mentality may perceive conflicts as further evidence of their victimization, reinforcing that feeling of injustice and resentment. They may view themselves as unfairly targeted or treated, even in situations where they may bear some responsibility. This perception can escalate conflicts and impede efforts to find common ground. Entitlement, justification, and positional bargaining. Something we talk a lot about as ADR professionals, right? Victim mentality can fuel a sense of that entitlement, where individuals feel justified in their demands or actions without considering the perspectives or underlying interests of others. This can lead to an unwillingness to compromise or empathize with opposing viewpoints, empathy, exasperating conflicts, and impeding resolution, right? So that's when people are stuck in their positions and doubling down and tripling down and quadrupling down because of a sense of entitlement or justification for the wrong that has been committed against them.
Right. I deserve entitlement. Another thing that comes up is avoidance and withdrawal. So some people with a victim mentality may choose to avoid or withdraw as a coping mechanism in response to conflict. They might disengage entirely from any conflict resolution efforts because they believe their victimization absolves them of any obligation to address or resolve the conflict. Mm-hmm. I'm a victim. I'm not part of this. It's their problem. This can prolong unresolved conflicts and further strain relationships, especially as co-parents, right? So avoidance or withdrawal. Lack of agency. When someone is sitting with a victim mentality, when they've taken that on, it often means that they have a perceived lack of agency or control over their own circumstances. In conflicts, somebody with this mindset might feel powerless to affect change or influence outcomes. That leads to passivity, avoidance, or resignation. That's kind of the why bother, right? Why bother? This can also undermine their ability to actively engage in conflict resolution processes. They're not able to engage in empathetic problem solving or seek mutually beneficial solutions, because why bother?
Yeah.
And finally, confirmation bias. We all perceive things through our own lens and our own filter, and individuals with a victim mentality may interpret conflict-related events and interactions through a lens of victimization. They selectively focus then on evidence that reinforces their perceived victimhood, while they disregard or minimize alternative perspectives. It is a very limited lens. It's myopic in a sense.
Yeah.
So confirmation bias can also fuel polarization. I'm right, you're wrong. And it impedes constructive dialogue. Mm-hmm. Now, while we expect everyone to experience a wide range of emotions during divorce, that's normal, right?
Yeah.
It's normal to have big emotions during divorce. We know that's a thing. But really taking on a victim mentality can have such detrimental effects on our well-being, our ability to navigate the divorce process effectively, and our ability to even engage in conflict productively. Divorce involves conflict. It's going to happen.
It's inevitable. It's inevitable.
Inevitable, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we see ourselves as a victim, we also may fail to take those proactive steps to protect our interests. It's the disengagement, the why bother, the withdraw, right? I might not take those proactive steps. I might not advocate for my own needs. I might not be planning for the future. I'm very stuck in the past. So the mindset can also prolong the healing process or the recovery process of getting through the divorce and getting past it to that new life, because it is trapping people in this cycle of negativity and really, I would call it despair.
Yeah.
Right? This is real despair that they're feeling.
Yeah. Which is immobilizing, paralyzing.
Paralyzing and feels powerless.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So why is it so important to address victim mentality when working with clients? Well, for one, victim mentality can leave individuals, again, we just said it, powerless and helpless.
Yeah.
Believing that they have no control over their circumstances. By addressing and overcoming this mindset, those experiencing victim mentality can reclaim their sense of agency and empowerment, enabling them to make informed and intentional decisions, things
Yay.
We love to talk a lot about, and take proactive, active steps towards rebuilding their lives. Additionally, victim mentality is often associated with feelings of resentment, bitterness, and self-pity, which, as we just discussed, can prolong that healing process and hinder emotional well-being, right? We talk a lot about that emotional energy. By challenging some of these negative thought patterns and developing a more resilient mindset, individuals can experience this greater emotional resiliency, acceptance, and inner peace during the divorce process. Now, I want to remind everyone, peace is not the elimination of conflict, right? Peace is the effective and efficient management of that conflict. This is also so important for those families with children that will be co-parenting well through and past their divorce process. By adopting in a more empowered mindset, individuals can communicate more effectively, collaborate on parenting decisions, and prioritize the well-being of their children amidst the divorce process. And lastly, addressing victim mentality can also have long-term benefits for individuals' future relationships and personal growth. I screamed future.
You did.
Yeah,
you
I did.
Did. I did
so
notice.
By cultivating a sense of that self-awareness, resiliency, and accountability, Individuals can break free from destructive patterns of behavior and establish healthier, more fulfilling relationships in the future. Because that victim mentality from the marriage to the divorce will very well carry on to those future relationships if not addressed.
Right. And affect their well-being, right? We've heard, Maya, we were just talking with Susan Guthrie about the fact that, you know, she gets hit up at parties and events all the time where people want to tell their horror stories of their divorce. And she met somebody recently who was complaining about their divorce, and it was 27 years ago.
Yeah.
That's a long time. Right?
That's so a long future.
We are distinguishing here between having been victimized, something external beyond your control harmed you, and taking on, living in, swimming among victim mentality. So how can we as professional divorce coaches support clients who seem to be anchored in this mentality, right? Yeah. Let's explore a few techniques. Always we start with establishing trust and rapport. It's a really important part of what we do.
Essential.
We have to create this safe and trusting environment. So we want them to feel assured that all of our coaching sessions are confidential and judgment-free.
Judgment-free.
So active listening. I mean, I think we say active listening on every podcast episode.
Right? It's the foundation of the work that we do, Deborah.
It is. And we have to use our very precisely trained skills in active listening. This means listening to your client's concerns without interrupting and without imposing your own judgments. Something that may not have affected you might blow somebody else out of the water, right? Yeah. That's not for us to judge. Mm-hmm. But by reflecting and validating their feelings and experiences, what we want to demonstrate for our client is that we hear their perspective. They need to feel heard. They need to feel heard, right? Yeah. Next, we can help them identify patterns, right? We want to, because we're actively listening, we are taking everything in, and we can help our client recognize and identify recurring patterns of this thinking and behavior. So one thing we can do is to encourage them to explore and reflect upon past situations where they felt victimized and look at how did they respond? How did they get through that last time? Then we challenge negative beliefs. That's part of our work. That's part of our hard work. But people sign up for coaching because whatever they're doing right now isn't working. Yeah. So,
and they might not know why.
They right? don't
and
know
that's
why.
Okay, because they're not in that self-discovery process yet.
Right. But that's our job to help identify the patterns and challenge those negative beliefs. So when we look at these patterns of thinking and behavior, we can begin to gently, remember, we don't come in with a sledgehammer here, okay? We're going to challenge the distorted or negative beliefs about themselves, about others, and about the world. So this is a reality testing process, right? Mm-hmm. Where we're going to encourage them to question the accuracy of their own thoughts and beliefs and consider alternate perspectives. This is a great way to use the ABCDE exercise, which we are fans of, right? So there's an activating event. I was harmed, but can I explore potentially more effective courses of action or thinking?
Yeah, looking at those limiting beliefs.
Exactly. And then encourage responsibility, right? And try to remember that it's more about what I do than what's been done to me. So we support the client in taking responsibility and ownership for their own thoughts, feelings, and actions. And what we hope to get to is helping them understand that while they might not have control over external circumstances, they do have control over how they perceive and interpret and respond to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
They do.
We can change the lens, right? I think about being at the eye doctor. Which is better, 3 or 4?
Yeah.
Great analogy. Better, 4 or 5? right? And that's all we're looking for, are these minute shifts in perspective as we work with clients.
Yeah. So as we're working with our clients through that discovery process, right, identifying those unwanted patterns or those limiting beliefs and thinking, we're supporting and promoting empowerment, right? Empowering our clients to make those positive changes in their lives by encouraging them to set realistic goals, develop action plans, and take the proactive steps towards achieving them. What we do is very action-oriented. Okay. Through that, they're able to build resilience, right? So this is some of that work we do in skill building. We as coaches can work with our clients to develop those strategies and resilience building techniques to deal with setbacks and challenges. This encourages them to focus, one of our favorite things, solution focused, right?
Solution focused.
Rather than dwelling on problems. Right? Again, looking to solutions rather than getting stuck in that problem cycle and appropriating blame for such. Celebrate progress, right? We are acknowledging and celebrating our clients' progress and achievements, no matter how small.
Use your party hat with abandon.
Yes, yes, those small shifts, those small shifts, right? So positive reinforcement certainly can boost confidence and motivation for continuing to grow. And then reflect and assess, repeat and rinse and repeat, right? Being attuned, using our skills as perception with work with our clients as they're continuing. This is not something, it's not linear, right? There may be steps forward and then a couple steps back in some of this victim mentality thinking or limiting beliefs. So it is extremely important to recognize that overcoming victim mentality is a journey, not a destination. Okay. So even with the best support, it requires a ton of self-reflection, courage, and a willingness for our clients to challenge their own beliefs and perceptions. Yet by acknowledging their own agency and responsibility for those thoughts, feelings, and actions, clients can break free from the cycle of victimhood and reclaim their power to shape their divorce, to minimize conflict, to support productive co-parenting relationships for their own personal happiness and well-being.
Right. Future action-oriented, future focused.
What we do, baby, what we do.
Victim mentality is spending all your time looking in the rearview mirror of what happened to you, right? There's a great quote, and I don't even know who to attribute it to, that I love, which is trauma is change that happened to us. Mm-hmm. Growth is change we choose. Yeah. So many people, many of our clients have been victimized in their marriages or in their divorce process. External factors, their spouse or something else happens that doesn't feel fair.
Yeah. Unjust. Wrong.
Right. It isn't right. It shouldn't have happened. You didn't deserve it. And then we do, and you've heard us talk about this. Okay. So what?
Now what?
Do you want to be 27 years from now still talking to all your friends about your divorce? Or would you like to be so happy you can barely stand it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is our work with clients, is helping them shift that perspective, change that lens. Which is better, 3 or 4?
Yeah.
Which makes you feel better now, 4 or 5? Right? Which makes your future look brighter. So, all right, before we sign off, we want to remind you that the Save Your Sanity Divorce Summit is coming up next week. Next week? Oh my gosh.
So fast.
Yes. 25 professional divorce coaches are here for free. They're going to share their best tips for getting ready for divorce, custody and co-parenting, legal and financial decision-making, conflict and safety, and lots more.
Yeah.
If you're an individual considering divorce or going through divorce, We are going to be sharing the information you need so divorce doesn't wreck your mental health, empty your bank account, or derail your future. If you are a coach, this is a continuing education opportunity for you. I learn every time I hear a presentation by another coach. I get a new tool, a new skill, a new way to phrase something, a new analogy. So this is an opportunity for coaches to come. Listen to your colleagues.
Yeah.
Learn something from your colleagues that's going to make your practice better. So go to divorcecoachesacademy.com/summit to see all the featured speakers and get yourself registered. I promise you don't want to miss this event.
Yeah. And we're going to be talking about a lot of perspective, right? Yes. And perspective from a lot of different perspectives. So we want to thank you so much for joining us at Divorce Coaches Academy and taking some time to really think about that victim mentality and the work that we do with clients and how crucial and essential it is for everyone's well-being. Yes. Until next time, thanks so much.
Thanks for joining us for the Divorce Coaches Academy podcast. If you enjoyed today's show, please give us a rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting app. It helps other divorce professionals find us and add to the conversation. And don't forget to follow us on social media to be the first to know when we add new classes and events. We'll be back next week with another topic to help you maximize client impact, create a thriving business, and promote the value of professional divorce coaching.